Thank you again for joining us for our online service here at Heritage Baptist Church. We are going to sing a few songs this morning and then get into the message. We'll start with All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. We'll go and sing Standing on the Promises.
Standing on the promises of Christ, my King. Stand.
258, There Is a Fountain. Today we're looking at Psalm chapter 84, and I've titled the message this morning, Love and Longing for the House of God. Psalm chapter 84, I'm going to be reading all 12 verses there, and then I'll go to 2 Samuel chapter 18. So I'll give you some time to find those chapters in your Bible if you're following along with us in Scripture, Psalm 84 and 2 Samuel chapter 18, Love and Longing for the House of God. I know that we've gone through some times of transition and we're each experiencing new adaptations that we're making. As I was studying this week, sometimes when I'm studying, maybe it's just a little bit of being filled with the Spirit, I'll start singing. And I was downstairs and preparing my message and singing, and somewhere midway through, my wife comes down. She says, "You know, I'm going to get on a Zoom call or a Zoom meeting for school, so you might want to tone down the singing for a little bit." So I said, "Okay." But, you know, just different things that we go through and experience. I know trying to stay healthy, trying to stay fit, getting out, going for walks, Like that one guy said, he said, my stomach is flat, it's just the L is silent. So, you know, things like that might hit a little bit too close to home for folks like me. But, you know, staying active, staying healthy, adjusting to all the things that we're adapting to, you know, all the differences. One of the things that, you know, came to my mind is how each of us, I believe, have a love and a longing for the house of God. And here in Psalm 84, David expresses, I think, what a lot of us are feeling. And so I thought it'd be good for us to look at this psalm and how David came to this place where he wrote this psalm in Psalm chapter 84. So we're going to begin in Psalm 84, verse 1. The Bible says, "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars. O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee." The psalmist begins here with the words, "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts." That word amiable literally means beloved or loved. David was saying, he expresses in verses 1 and 2 how much he just loves being in God's house. He says in verse 2, "My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God." It was not just a yearning in his soul and in his heart. It was a physical desire to be in the house of God. You say, well, how did this come to be? Where did all this come from? We're going to look at 2 Samuel in chapter number 18. We'll come back and I'll be preaching from Psalm 84. But in 2 Samuel 18, it gives us the understanding of how David got to this point in Psalm 84 and what had happened and what had taken place. To kind of summarize, before I begin reading in 2 Samuel 18, Absalom, David's son, has betrayed his father, and he's usurping the throne. In 2 Samuel 18, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "And David numbered the people that were with him, and set captains of thousands and captains of hundreds over them. And David sent forth a third part of the people under the hand of Joab." I need to read 18 or 15. Sorry, I want to make sure I'm in the right chapter. Earlier, I was... Yeah, no, I'm sorry. It's 2 Samuel 15. 2 Samuel 15. Yeah. Sorry about that. I was... In my notes, I had written 18 because I had read ahead, but I meant 2 Samuel 15. I apologize for that. 2 Samuel 15, if you want to turn back with me a couple of chapters. In 2 Samuel 15, it says, "And it came to pass after this that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. And Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate. And it was so that when any man that had a controversy came to the king for judgment, then Absalom called unto him and said, 'Of what city art thou?' And he said, 'Thy servant is one of the tribes of Israel.' And Absalom said unto him, See, thy matters are good and right, but there is no man deputed of the king to hear thee. Absalom said, moreover, O that I were made judge in the land, that every man which hath any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice. And it was so that when any man came nigh to him to do him obeisance, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. And on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. It's an important phrase there in the scripture. In verse 7, it continues, and it came to pass after 40 years that Absalom said unto the king, I pray thee, let me go and pay my vow, which I have vowed unto the Lord in Hebron. For thy servant vowed a vow while I abode at Geshur in Syria, saying, if the Lord shall bring me again indeed to Jerusalem, then I will serve the Lord. And the king said unto him, go in peace. So he arose and went to Hebron. But Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, as soon as ye hear the sound of the trumpet, then ye shall say, Absalom reigneth in Hebron. And with Absalom went 200 men out of Jerusalem that were called. And they went in their simplicity, and they knew not anything. And Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gilonite, David's counselor, from his city, even from Gilo, while he offered sacrifices. And the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. Absalom is mounting his takeover, if you will, here in verses 1 through 12 of 2 Samuel 15. Verse 13, it says, and there came a messenger to David, saying, the hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom. And David said unto all his servants that were with him at Jerusalem, arise and let us flee, for we shall not else escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring evil upon us, and smite the city with the edge of the sword. And the king's servants said unto the king, behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint. And the king went forth, and all his household after him, and the king left 10 women which were concubines to keep the house. And the king went forth, and all the people after him, and tarried in a place that was far off. And all his servants passed on beside him, and all the Cherethites and all the Perethites and Gittites, 600 men which came after him from Gath, passed on before the king. Then said the king to Ittai the Gittite, wherefore goest thou also with us? Return to thy place and abide with the king, for thou art a stranger and also an exile. Whereas thou camest but yesterday, should I this day make thee go up and down with us? Seeing I go whither I may return thou, whither I may, return thou and take back thy brethren. Mercy and truth be with thee. And Ittai answered the king and said, as the Lord liveth, and as my lord the king liveth, surely in what place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be. And David said to Ittai, go and pass over. And Ittai the Gittite passed over, and all his men, and all the little ones that were with him. And all the country wept with a loud voice, and all the people passed over. The king also himself passed over the brook Kidron, and all the people passed over toward the way of the wilderness. So they're leaving Jerusalem, and they're weeping as they're leaving Jerusalem. But there's an important thing about to happen. They're not just leaving, they're taking the Ark of the Covenant with them. They're taking the presence of God with them. But they're taking it away from the tabernacle. They know that the tabernacle is where it ought to be, but they're taking it with them. Here in verse 24, the Bible says, and lo, Zadok also, and all the Levites were with him, bearing the Ark of the Covenant of God. And they set down the Ark of God, and Abiathar went up until all the people had done passing out of the city. And the king said unto Zadok, carry back the Ark of God into the city. If I shall find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me again and show me both it and his habitation. What David's saying right there is, the ark belongs in the temple. If God finds favor, if God is for me. In other words, what David didn't do was, as soon as he heard that Absalom, his son, was betraying him and usurping the throne, he didn't prepare to fight. He didn't set his armies in array for a battle. He said, we're going to leave. We're going to take the Ark of the Covenant with us. And as he's going, and as he departs out of Jerusalem, something stops him and says, this isn't right. God belongs in his house. And David says, take the ark back. And if God finds favor, if God does the fighting for me, he will bring me to where he's at. And he will bring me not only to where he's at, but to the place where he abides. Each and every one of us are going through an interesting time right now. When are we going to get back to where God abides? When are we going to get back to the house of God? Now, I understand God abides in each and every one of us. And I get that. But it's important to note here what's taking place in the life of David at this time. The Bible continues in verse 26. It says, "But if he thus say, I have no delight in thee, behold, here am I. Let him do to me as seemeth good unto him." The king said also unto Zadok the priest, "Art not thou a seer? Return into the city in peace, and your two sons with you, Ahimaaz thy son, and Jonathan the son of Abiathar. See, I will tarry in the plain of the wilderness until there come word from you to certify me." Zadok therefore and Abiathar carried the ark of God again to Jerusalem, and they tarried there. And David went up by the ascent of Mount Olivet. And this is where I believe Psalm 84 was written. The Bible says, "And he wept as he went up, and had his head covered, and he went barefoot. And all the people that was with him covered every man his head, and they went up weeping as they went up. And one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. David said, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness." Ahithophel was considered a very wise counselor. He was a great counselor. The Bible goes on to say that when Ahithophel spoke, it was as he was speaking the oracles of God, as he was speaking God's word himself. And Ahithophel was a very wise man and a very important counselor for David. But Ahithophel conspired with Absalom to go against David. And Ahithophel became Absalom's counselor. Later on, Ahithophel gives counsel to Absalom, and Absalom doesn't listen. And because Absalom doesn't listen to Ahithophel, Ahithophel goes and hangs himself. That's how important his words were. That's how important of a counselor he was unto David and the king, and to Absalom even, but Absalom didn't listen. Love and longing for the house of God. Go back to Psalm chapter 84. Let's look again what the Bible says. Verse number 9 of Psalm 84, it says, "Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed." David longed for a sweet look. David may have written this psalm sometime around the age of 60. And it was, again, after his son Absalom had betrayed him and usurped the throne. The Bible tells us in 2 Samuel 15, verse 6, that Absalom steals the hearts of the men of Israel. In verse 12 of that same chapter, Absalom conspires with David's counselors. And the Bible says the conspiracy against David is strong. Because of all this, we know, having just read that chapter, that David flees Jerusalem. He realizes his son Absalom and other men are conspiring to take his throne, and not only take his throne, but to kill him. In 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 25, the Bible says, "And the king said unto Zadok, carry back the ark of God into the city. If I shall find favor in the eyes of the Lord." If I shall find favor, where? In the eyes of the Lord. It's important to David that God sees him. It is important to David that God looks at him. The Bible says, "If I shall find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me again and show me both it and his habitation." What if God were to look at you today? What if God were to see you in everything that you do, in everything that you say, in everything that you are? Is that important to you? Is it important enough that you long for that? David longed for a sweet look. 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 29 and 30, the Bible says, "Zadok therefore and Abiathar carried the ark of God again to Jerusalem, and they tarried there, and David went up by the ascent of Mount Olivet and wept as he went up. And he had his head covered, and he went barefoot, and all the people that was with him covered every man his head, and they went up weeping as they went up, knowing that every step that they took
was further and further away from the Ark of God, from the Ark of the Covenant, and the temple. David is now journeying away from where he worshiped God. All along the way, he's weeping, not knowing if he will ever see the Ark of the Covenant again, not knowing if he'll ever see God's temple again. He pleads in Psalm chapter 84, verse number 2, for God to look upon him. David wants to see God's face and worship with his people. In verse 2 of Psalm 84, it says, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. He continues down in verse 4, it says, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. David wants that sweet look of fellowship. We all know that look. We all long for that look. And by the way, it sure beats the look of disappointment. Have you ever had somebody look at you in disappointment? Or it beats the look of anger or the look of sadness. Have you ever had somebody look at you in one of those ways? Aren't you glad to receive the sweet look of fellowship? Aren't you happy when you know that you are going to see somebody and have the same idea and the same desire to praise and worship God together? That's what David longs for. He's literally in tears over not being able to worship God in the temple and see the people of God. David remembers how the birds would make nests in and around the altar. Psalm 84 verse 3 says, yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. David is envious at even the birds that can come and make their nests so close to God's house. Theologian James Montgomery Boyce stated that the sparrow is an example of a bird of small significance, and the swallow is a picture of restlessness. Likewise, the insignificant can find his place in the house of God, and the restless man can find his rest there near God's altar. I agree. It is evidently the design of this passage to intimate to us that in the house and at the altar of God, a faithful soul findeth freedom from care and sorrow, quiet of mind, and gladness of spirit. Like a bird that had secured a little mansion for the reception and education of her young. That was Thomas Hartwell Horn who said that of this passage. May that be our desire and longing this day to seek God and to have his sweet look see us, and to see our brothers and sisters in Christ and worship God together. Spurgeon noted of this passage, not merely to be in the assembly, but to appear before God was the object of each devout Israelite. Would to God it were the sincere desire of all who in these days mingle in our religious gatherings. Unless we realize the presence of God, we have done nothing. The mere gathering together is nothing worth. Let me read that last sentence again. Unless we realize the presence of God, we have done nothing. The mere gathering together is nothing worth. My prayer is that we recognize his presence in all that we do, that we long for God and for the house of God, and not take for granted our ability to gather and worship him. David longed for a sweet look. And David longed for steadfast labor. Look at verse 10 of Psalm 84. It says, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. David knew and believed that there was nothing better than being in the presence of God, no matter what task or job you were given. In verses 5 through 7 of Psalm 84, it says, "Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them who, passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God." Most scholars and commentators agree that Baca speaks of tears and weeping, or of drought and dryness, where thoughts of difficulty and trouble are present. The psalmist says that those whose strength is in the Lord make the places of difficulty and dryness a place of rain and pools and a well where others can come and find refreshment. They go from strength to strength, the Bible says. In other words, when you think about it, typically when somebody goes from strength, they're not going to strength, right? When you start off on a particularly physically demanding task, you might start off with a lot of strength. But you don't go from strength to strength. What do? You go from strength to less strength, or from strength to tired, right? Or from strength to, getting by. As I get older, my body talks to me. I keep in my mind thinking I'm 17 years old and I can run and jump and, take these boys on at any time, anything at any time. It's not the case. My body talks to me. Again, I'm trying to stay as healthy as possible during this quarantine. And my boys like to go on bike rides, and so they've asked me to come out on bike rides with them. And I love riding bikes. And when I was a kid, I mean, I'd ride bikes all the time. I remember riding to my best friend's house. He lived 8 miles away. I'd go back and forth to his house about 3 times a day during the summer. My legs were huge. I mean, I had built up such leg muscle. It wasn't on purpose. It was just because that was the only way I could get around, and I wanted to go see my friend. And we'd go to his house in the morning, and we'd ride bikes back to our house, and we'd play, and we'd go back to his house and come back. I mean, it was just the way it was. Well, I go on this bike ride with my boys, and we've got some, North Dakota's not very mountainous, but we got some strong hills, especially here in Minot, and especially on a bike. And I go up these hills, and I'm thinking, man, I can't even get up the hill. I have to get off my bike and walk the bike up the hill, And I'm trying, I'm fighting, because, again, my mind says, you got this. You can do this. And my body's going, no, you can't. So I get off, and I walk my bike, but then I get to a little bit flatter, a little bit, less of an incline. And I'm like, I can get it, and I get on, and I'm killing myself. I mean, my body's just dying. And I get home, I feel like I want to throw up. And I did this, and all of a sudden, the next couple days, my hamstrings start talking to me. And they're going, yeah, you can't be doing this, I literally had to go and get some medicine, like some muscle relaxer type pills, and some of that, it's like an icy hot, to rub on my legs, because it was so painful. Like, I could barely even fall asleep. I was having trouble going to sleep. I'd lay down and my legs just be on fire. I took an ice bath just to try and calm myself down. My legs, it was insane. The Bible says, why do I talk about all that? The Bible says they go from strength to strength. What does that mean? God is the one who provides. God is the one who gives them strength. Through God, all things are possible. With the blessedness expressed by plenty of water in an otherwise dry place, the pilgrim lives in strength and goes to more strength. The rich relationship with God is a never-ending supply of strength for the journey, even in difficult seasons. They learn that all of the labor for the Lord is worth it in the end. Spurgeon again says here, "To bear burdens and open doors for the Lord is more honor than to reign among the wicked. Every man has his choice, and this is ours. God's worst is better than the devil's best. Make me a doorkeeper. I won't complain. Give me the lowest of the low jobs in the house of God, and I'm still going to show up and offer praise to the King of Kings. I like what one buddy of mine said. His only request when the Lord makes a new earth is he wants to be the fish and game warden of Tennessee. Hey, whatever job you have, whatever task you're given, praise God for whatever it is. It reminds me of that one fella who was fishing in Tennessee, and the fish and game warden showed up. And he wanted to see his license, his fishing license. And the fellow said, well, I don't have a fishing license. He said, well, what are you doing here fishing? He's got his pole, you know, sitting there and cast out in the water. He said, well, I'm just practicing my cast. See? And he reels his cast in. There's nothing on it. He said, well, you mind if I check what's in your bucket? He said, oh, yeah, that's fine. And he looks in the bucket. And there's a fish in there. He says, well, what about this right here? And the fellow says, oh, that's my pet fish. Yeah, I bring him here for exercise. I let him out in the lake, and I let him swim around. I call to him, and he comes right back. And the game warden says, I got to see this. He said, well, go ahead. And he tips the bucket into the lake. He stands there. He looks at the guy. The guy looks back at him. He said, well, aren't you going to call the fish? He goes, what fish? So, you know, sometimes you got to be a little sneaky. Give me whatever the job is. It doesn't matter how menial, how low. Let me do a work for God. Whatever part you play in the house of God, whatever it is you do, turn it into a well for a weary traveler to find rest and feel at home. This is our privilege as we gather together. And one day as we serve the Lord in heaven, we will know that it was all worthwhile. David longed for a sweet look. He longed for steadfast labor, and he longed for a stroll of leisure. Look at verse 11. The Bible says, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. The sun is there to provide warmth. The sun helps to provide growth for all our vegetation and plants. The Bible here says that the Lord our God is a sun and shield. He is comfort and protection. Again, my favorite to quote in this message, Spurgeon said this, a sun for happy days and a shield for dangerous ones. A sun above, a shield around, a light to show the way, and a shield to ward off its perils. Something else about the sun is that it is there every single day. Though there may be days where we cannot see it or feel its warmth, it is still there, and God is with us every single day. Though at times clouds of doubt may obscure our vision, and coldness of sin may prevent our feeling of comfort near him, he is always there as our sun and shield. I told you earlier, I like to try and exercise. I like going for walks. I like going for walks in the sun. The Bible says, no good thing will he withhold to them that walk uprightly. To those that walk in fellowship with him, he holds nothing back. My favorite part in this verse is that the Lord will give grace and glory. Several thoughts come to my mind when I read that phrase. The first is that song, Where He Leads Me. I can hear my Savior calling, take thy cross and follow me. The song continues, I'll go with him through the garden, and he will give me grace and glory. The second thought that comes to my mind as I read those words, the Lord will give grace and glory. The Bible says he will give. The Lord will give grace and glory. That implies a future tense. If I'm to give something to somebody, you know what that means? That means I need to have it. And if I give something to somebody and I give all that I have, I can't give any to anybody else. The Bible says he will give me grace and glory. He will give. You know what that means? He doesn't run out of grace. He doesn't run out of grace. His grace is sufficient. The Bible says where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. You're not gonna exhaust the grace of God. He will give me grace. That grace that has yet to be given. That grace that I don't deserve. That grace that he'll never run out of. That grace that he's promised to me. And he will give me, the Bible says. That leads me to my third thought. That one simple word. The word give. Whew. He will give. My thieving heart doesn't have to try and sneak in and steal his grace. It's a gift. My prideful heart can't do a single thing to earn his grace. It's a gift. He will give. A gift from God. My Savior, Jesus Christ, the one who loves me and gave up his life for me. His gift is grace and glory. One more time from Brother Spurgeon. Spurgeon said this, glory never comes without grace coming first. But grace never comes without glory coming last. The two are bound together, and what God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Have you received God's grace? His glory is yet to come. We have yet to see heaven. We have yet to walk on heaven's shores. But there's glory that's coming. We will see Jesus face to face one day. What a glory that will be when my Jesus I shall see and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand, leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. We will stroll in leisure with him. Jesus, who will give to you and me. He has, and he will give us grace. He has, and he will give us forgiveness. He has, and he will give us salvation. He will give us a home in heaven. Thank the Lord for his grace and glory. The psalmist ends this psalm with these words. Verse number 12. He says that those who long for the things of God's house are blessed and receive them by trusting in him. Verse 12 reads, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. We can only be blessed and receive these things by trusting in him. I do hope you trust in him today. If you've never asked Christ to save you, my prayer is that you receive Jesus into your heart and into your life by praying and asking him to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse your heart. Ask him to come into your life to save you and take you to heaven when you die. He will give you grace and glory. offering plates at the front of the church or at the back of the church. We're not going to pass the offering plates, or not an offering plate at the back of the church. We have that offering box. Please, if you're listening at home, continue to be faithful through your online giving or mailing it here to the church. You can give online at hbcminot.org through the portal that's there on that website, or you can mail it to the church here at 435 21st Street Northwest, Minot, North Dakota, 58703. We appreciate your faithfulness. This is also Senior Master Sergeant Brent Baker's last Sunday with us, and we're certainly going to miss him. He'll be leaving, heading down to Florida, hopefully starting his new job in his retirement for Northrop Grumman down in Melbourne, Florida. And good news is there's a good church that's down there, and hopefully he's going to be able to connect with them. And he's already listened to a couple of the online services of the pastor down there. And he's been a great friend to me, and I appreciate the encouragement, the blessing that he's been. And I'll miss him. Just keep him in prayer. And I don't know why I'm getting emotional. I'd almost see him again. He's going to have me down there fishing and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. But I do thank God for all the ones that he brings into the church here. I apologize for the emotions. I do want to close in a word of prayer, and I appreciate again each and every one of you. I love you. Thank God for all of you. Let's pray. Father, we do praise you and thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for the grace and glory that you give. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the house of God where we can meet together. And thank you that even when we can't meet together, we have technology and avenues that we can use to connect and to continue to praise and worship you. Father, we long for that day when we'll see you face to face and we'll spend eternity with you. In the meantime, help us to be busy. Help us to be encouraging and loving and sharing the gospel with others. Lord, I pray for Brent. Pray for his family. Pray as they make the transition out of the military into civilian life, that you would just grant them the desires of their heart, that you would provide, as you already have, work, housing, and just take care of them. Pray you'd bless the move, that everything would go smoothly and there'd be no difficulties in the trips, with the travel, keep everyone safe. And again, just thank you for all of our military men and women who serve both here and overseas. Pray you'd watch over them. And Lord, just help us to not take for granted the fellowship that we get to enjoy. And we'll praise you and thank you for all that you do. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.